made another preliminary final.
Richmond are into a fourth straight preliminary final.
And then there were four.
And we're set for action.
Last week, we witnessed why Richmond have been so dominant in recent years.
Tom Lynch stood up, and that's what the Tigers wanted, this man back. Picked up by Edwards, dribble kick towards goal. The Tigers have got their second.
Shane Bolt, look at the skill of that.
Shane Bolt kicks a miracle goal.
But Port Adelaide have been in total command this season, looking down on the comp from the top spot.
Dixon's got the ball, gets it to Motlop, smother off the boot, spills to Ebert. Ebert's got the goal. I tell you what, Port has smashed it open.
Duursma, Rockcliffe tumbles one. It's tumbling, it's tumbling.
Jez, this way, that way. Oh, Jez, magnificent.
But none of that means anything tonight.
Welcome to finals footy.
For tonight, a place in the grand final and a shot at greatness awaits the victor.
Umpire in the middle, ready to go.
Will the Tiger Army march to their third grand final in
Dusty
4 years?
Dusty plays on, hooks it round the corner. Dusty Martin.
And he's done it, Cassandra.
Big fly lead.
Shot on goal. Shane Bolton, that's a ripper.
Or will Port power into their first since 2007?
Here's Robbie Gray. Has a snapping go. Robbie's got it.
Rosie with a snapping ball on goal, bending it back.
Here's Dixon.
These trials make us who we are.
Tonight, from Adelaide Oval, it's Port Adelaide up against Richmond in a preliminary final as Triple M rocks finals footy.
Preliminary final, absolutely massive. Port Adelaide taking on Richmond, the Adelaide Oval. Preliminary final weekend, always an absolute cracker. Massive lead up to in the next hour and 50 minutes. Judge Juddy is in the house. Ken Hinckley, the senior coach of Port Adelaide, will join us. Brownie's got a top five from the Tigers. Adam Kingsley, cult hero of the week, David Cloak. So much to look forward to. We'll get to the fun stuff. We need to cover off a bit of serious stuff as well because Damo's got some news. We'll get to that in a moment. But as always, the captain of the Friday huddle is here for the last time this season. Luke Darcy, hello, Darcy.
Genuinely get excited on a Friday night, Howie, when it's prelim final weekend and this is going to be an absolute cracker, this one. I can't wait for it. Ken Hinckley, the coach of the Power. Very much looking forward to chatting to him.
A two-time Brownlow medalist, Chris Juddy's here. Hello, Judge.
Howard, huge footy of weekend coming up. Very excited about tonight's action.
And Nathan Noodles Brown is here with another top five as always. Hello, Brownie.
Good, Howard. I came armed with a lot of stats last week. And since 2017, the Tigers, if they've lost a game during the regular season and they've then met that side in the finals, they've actually turned the tables on them. They lost to Port Adelaide in round 11. They've learnt every time since 2017. So there is a very good stat for you, Howard.
I still think he's got Bruce McAvoney's notes getting emailed to him. I'm not sure how it is working. Damien Barrett is on the line in a different location. Good afternoon to you, Damo. Where are you?
In the Gold Coast studio of the mighty Triple M organisation today, Howie, and hopefully that half second or even 1.5 second delay that we might have been experiencing in recent Friday nights won't be part of the conversation tonight.
No, we're good to go, Damo. As you and all our listeners know, we normally like to have a little bit of fun off the top, which we will get to, but there's a very, very serious news story. It goes beyond news that you're now going to tell us about, Damo.
Yeah, it's North Melbourne coach Reece Shaw, Howie, who has taken an extended period of leave from the football club, and it is an indefinite break from the game. It's an arrangement that has unfolded in the past probably 3 to 4 weeks, certainly post the 2020 season finishing for North Melbourne. The club has been aware of Reece's situation and just requiring, as we said, an indefinite period of time away from the game. The chairman of the club, Ben Buckley, has today spoken to members in an email contained within a wider picture about the football club, but this is the specific references to Reece Shaw. We've been acutely aware of speculation regarding our head coach, but we have not been in a position to say anything, as we are respecting the wishes of Reece and his family. Reece has asked for some time and space away from football, and we have provided him support during this period. We thank the media for their ongoing cooperation and trust they understand we can't make any further comment at this time. In the meantime, we will forge ahead from a board perspective. Our decision-making centres around one ambition, how we can build a team and a football program that will win our fifth flag.
Yeah, incredibly sad story that, Damo. It's no other way to describe it. I think everyone in the football community, and it is a close community, isn't it, Juddy? And
it is.
You just don't like to hear, you know, someone that is part of our fraternity going through that situation. And, you know, we wish him all the best and hope that his recovery is a speedy one.
And naturally want to respect fully the health privacy that he deserves like everyone else, Damo. Is there any clarity maybe less about that, more from a footballing sense? Will North get some experience in to assist during that indefinite leave, or is it too early to say how the jigsaw puzzle might come together in the next phase for North?
Look, Jody, it's a really pertinent point you've raised, and I think you've couched the question in a way that North Melbourne has been dealing with it. It's fair to say that their concerns have been for Reece and Reece only when it comes to what they've been dealing with as a club in the past month. But obviously, football clubs being the way they are, and there's two members in this conversation who sit on boards, once you're aware of certain information, your mind does go to other places. And I think it's fair to say that North Melbourne has been looking at the big picture as well as the smaller picture, and the smaller picture being the important one at the moment, being Reece Shaw's well-being.
So, Damo, inside the club, do they expect Reece Shaw to coach round one next year, or are they making alternative plans at the moment?
Brownie, again, it's probably too early, but my belief is that they will be looking at contingency plans. I think they have to look at contingency plans because the time frame is unknown. It is an indefinite period of time away from the football club, and as we know, the trade period is upcoming, the draft period is upcoming, the return to pre-season training is not that far away. The contingency plans for people of positions of power within a football club need to be considered.
All right, Damo, that is not good news. Our thoughts are with Reece, everyone around him, the Kangaroos Football Club, his family, and hopefully Reece is getting the care and attention he needs. We're going to pivot completely because that's what we do on this show, Judge. Extraordinary news out of the hub this week that Damo was trying to keep away from us, that he is turning 50 tomorrow, Nath. Mm-hmm. Now, we got this information through Das. The AFL were putting a bit of a shindig on, and Damien was going to speak. And they're a bit concerned it was going to be real slow stuff. So they come to the Friday huddle to provide a bit of video entertainment to us.
Bit of sizzle, we call it, Howie, for an event like that, because it looked like a pretty stale affair that they were going to throw inside the hub for Damo's 50th birthday. Any news on how it went?
Well, we'll get to Damo in a moment, but apparently we were the stars of the show, funnily enough, Judge. We put together some videos, and here's a little bit of a compilation of what the AFL played on the big screen, apparently, at Damo's big
I want to start off by saying happy 50th birthday, Damo.
Damo, happy birthday, guru.
Happy 50th birthday, Damo.
I wasn't 100% sure you were ever going to get there. I know when you joined forces with Jake King and Toby Mitchell, and I held my breath that you'd ever make it to 50, but you've got there, mate, so congratulations.
My highlight, the day we were going to the footy and you picked me up in the Camaro. Black, shiny, chrome, gleaming, music pumping out the side, and I'm thinking, how good is Damo? The low light is when you drove the aforementioned car to the MCG no quicker than 45 kilometres an hour.
And you've had a really courageous time to get to 50 when you look back and think you had to employ spotters inside the hub to try and alert you to when Luke Beveridge was around the Bay Marie. Some thought you wouldn't get to 50, Damo. Some hoped you wouldn't. I'm not in that bracket.
Hub life has suited you down to a T. I've never seen you look better. And it's benefited everyone else too. I mean, Janine at home, she's been able to get a full night's sleep. She's been able to turn the lights off because, as we know, Damo, you do sleep with the lights on.
You're a warm, kind, caring, conservative man, but I know deep down there is a beast inside you waiting to be let loose. Let the beast loose tonight!
Apparently very well received by the AFL executive, that little video compilation does. Happy birthday, Damo. Happy birthday for tomorrow. How was the party?
Thank you, boys. And I do know there's a lot of warmth behind those words, even though the words themselves may not have been warm. I'm choosing to convince myself that indeed you are that way. Now, look, you're right, Howie. I obviously, once I was coming up here, it did cross my mind that I would be away for a milestone birthday. Now, I would not have done a birthday party, even if I was in Melbourne for this period anyway. So I was trying to get through this hub life without any form of acknowledgement of it. But it did get out last week, and the very, very nice people up here who a very good bunch of people who I've got to know really well did put on a little bit of a show. But, yeah, thanks for your warm words anyway, boys.
Well, at that show, Damo, I heard there were some speeches, and we tried to get a hold of those speeches, but I'm being told quite abruptly that I am not allowed to listen to any of those speeches, almost to the point where there could be legal ramifications for our producer over there.
I don't know if it was legal or the fact we would have sent our audience to sleep, Brownie. It was one of the two, apparently, from Damo's speech.
But there was a gift that was given to you, Damo, from his new mates at
was
the
there?
AFL. He's very much, they love him there, and I don't think Marshy presented it to. What did they give you, Damo?
Do you really want to go down this path, Dust?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, okay, well, I've had a few issues with birds since I've been in southeast Queensland in the past
full stop,
6 weeks. No, well, that's also true, Darcy. We've dealt with them as a family on Triple M, and we're
still
standing.
Just so we're clear, Damo, that's birds. That's not birds at the local establishment.
There's things that fly in the sky, Jody.
Not the pink flamingo
type of birds.
Thanks, Damo.
those type of birds, Jody. And I've even Googled this particular breed of bird, which is doing my head in, the plover. I have been harassed, attacked. No, I've been hit twice in the back of the head.
And this is bad for our brand. He's not going to admit this, is he? This just isn't real. So what did they give you, Guru?
Oh, we're getting to that, are we? Yes, they gave me a bike helmet with a few spikes on it, Howie.
Oh, wow.
So you're telling me you've been scared by a couple of hooded plovers?
Mate, they have got a spike on them. It does scare me.
You are as tough as they come, Damo.
I know.
You've got the COVID integrity officer up there. You've got the safety manager there. Now hanging crap on you, Purple. It must feel like it's almost time to start to strike back, surely.
Yeah, well, the two birds did make contact with their head. I did notice they were stunned for a few minutes after it. So it's used to being hit.
Mate, of all the things that we were going to get him inside the hub, there were a lot of enemies. There were a lot of people that wanted to get him.
A couple of hooded plovers.
They got him. Plover. Down.
Adama, apparently a big, big effort was put towards this party. People were organising a big surprise party put on. But apparently the man of the hour came down early and sport the whole surprise. Is that a true story?
Well, I like to be punctual, and the invitation I got said for, I think it was 5:30, so I got there at 5:30, but I think I might have been a little bit early for the preparations for what was to lie ahead, which was very, very tame and very, very gratefully received by me for the people that I didn't know 6 weeks ago to have the thought to put something
Tell us about
for
your
me.
New friends, Damo. Who are some of the new...
Was Gil there?
The legions.
No, Gil's been out of that hub for a while.
Well, that would have disappointed you.
They're just very, very considerate, caring people who I've got to know really well in the last 6 weeks, Darce. We've all sort of endured some situations, and they're my new friends.
Well, I heard that this was the party to end all parties, Judge.
Emotional.
It went on this party.
Kumbaya.
And it went on this party, and it was keeping people up. We've got some audio from a lady by the name of Tanisha Cook, who is Jack Graham's girlfriend up there at the hug. Jack Higgins' girlfriend up there at the hug. And this is what Tanisha had to say in the midst of Damo's bloody rave party.
I opened my door shortly because I heard some moving around, and I saw the security guard. I said, "Hey, can you hear that music? It's really loud. We can hear it right through." Blah, 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 because I could still hear the music after he'd told them off. He said, "Yeah, we just told them off to turn their music down. Little losers have turned it up louder. They're treating it like a Western Suburbs nightclub. Like, how selfish can you be? Just literally on your flight back."
What time did you go through to a
Damo? Western Suburbs nightclub, Damo.
Well, what's that mean, Brownie? I'm not sure of the context there.
No, no, your party, Damo.
It's your party, Damo.
It was your ex-club's party. That one.
The party? Give us a summation of what time you finished, Damo.
You can't just stop talking,
Damo.
It wasn't about you, mate.
It wasn't a late one. It was about, I think it was about 1 o'clock in the end. But
why are you whispering, Damo?
Are you in a safe room, Damo?
Come on, mate.
Just sort of
speak up.
There.
Use your voice. We need to get your Howard's deepening thing.
I think the hooded plovers are just outside the window. He's worried he might be under siege again.
He's whispering.
Can you train plovers?
Before we get to Judge Juddy, I've been sent some audio.
More audio.
I've been sent some audio.
Prolific, Howie. Yes. What's coming your way?
Yes.
Is it a positive for one member?
Yeah, no, it's very, very positive. It could cause friction between two members of the huddle, though.
See, I feel like I've had a very, very good week, so I'm feeling pretty confident.
No, you're pretty good.
I've had a good week, too.
No, you have had a good week. Damo, you've had a good week.
I've had a great week, so it could be me.
Well, we know that you're big in the radio space, and you announced that a couple of years ago, Judge, when you came up that you were running your own radio station at the time that was called this.
5CJ.
which has really taken off.
Yep.
Really taken off. Now, I don't know if this is going to cause any friction with Nath because he's very tight with the Shakers and the religious side of things.
This is an attack on the Shakers.
Well,
you're bringing the big fella in.
Well,
very careful wandering into this space.
From what I can gather.
Very powerful organisation,
I know,
the Shakers.
And this is why I'm concerned because Judge apparently has gone down this style of path. He's expanded 5CJ and he's gone with his own radio show called The Hour of Power. Now, I heard a bit of it this week.
He's got a very guilty look on his face, Jack.
I heard a bit of it
very,
this week.
Just
have a bit of a listen
Hour
to what,
of power
he's,
with Chris
what he's rolling out in the West.
Good evening and welcome to The Hour of Power this Wednesday, the 14th of October 2020. It is such a privilege to have you with me tonight. My name is Chris Judd, and of course, you're on Youth Talk Radio. Tonight, we're going to play some great music, including this new song called Image of God from We Are the Messengers. This is The Hour of Power with Chris Judd.
I didn't know this was something you were rolling out. Is it just in the West or are you syndicating or what are you doing, The Hour of Power?
Well, you've got to scale up, Howard, at some stage in your life. It's a bit like the wrestlers. You got the Ultimate Warrior. There wasn't one Ultimate Warrior. There was seven or eight. And you bring him in and you bring him out and that's how you get a bit of scale. And that's what I'm doing with my radio work.
He's this asked a lot of questions about the Shakers, Brandy, isn't he?
Feels like a massive attack on the Shakers, to be honest. We're offended. We are offended. I'm going to go back, talk to my people, and we're going to try and get some sort of...
Juddy's been
embargo
in the business model of the Shakers, hasn't he? I think he's looked at it and just seen there's an opportunity. You make a lot of money in religion, Juddy.
The only exposure.
You make a lot of money in religion.
A lot of
Catholic
property.
Church.
A lot of
be
property.
Careful, be careful.
The only exposure I had to The Hour of Power used to happen at Jake's on Church Street, where you could go in there and drink as many spirits as you wanted for an hour. There was sawdust on the ground. And as a very young teenager that may or may not have been at an age where you could do those things, that was a baptism of fire, shall we say, the Hour of Power.
How were you getting into that young Hour of Power as an under-18-year-old? Did you have
a teenager, you're 18 when you're a teenager,
okay.
Howard. So,
okay. you were old enough to be in there.
I was a teenager.
Okay. Remember, he told us he had that car that Mace's driver.
That was off air, Nate. But go with that now that you've moved into that.
Where do you come up with these stories?
That was off air.
That was definitely off air.
You can't leave us hanging now, Brandy.
Very much off air, that one.
What's your memory of that story, Nate?
Some sort of green car.
Get the boy
him and his mates drive around Sandringham. And they were about 15 or something.
Oh, hey,
joy that's, riding.
Doesn't sound... That's
where does
like,
he come up with this stuff?
I don't know. I don't know.
You take on the Shakers and you're going to go down, Judge. I'm going to speak to my man, Russell Evans, down at the Shakers, and we're going to come for you.
We were going to get Chris Judd from the Hour of Power on, and I discussed it with Tunners, our producer, and I said to him, I quote, "It is the last show of the year. Why would we put ourselves in a position where we can get things horribly wrong? You won't press the dump button and we'll be on the front page of the paper tomorrow." So we didn't invite him on.
But, I like what he's doing over there, Howard.
Yes.
I want that out.
So
there.
Do I. I enjoyed it when it was sent my way. All right, it is now time for...
5CJ.
In the world of AFL, there is one modern-day player that rises above all else.
I'd be happy to put my name up as the chairman.
Whose opinions and judgments we respect.
I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
The situations are real. The verdicts are final. This is Judge Juddy.
For Spirit Internet and IT, Australia's leading internet and IT provider for businesses.
Well done to Spirit Internet and IT too, Howard. They're doing wonderful things,
they
connecting
are.
Businesses
they
across
are.
Australia.
I love
well
it.
Done to them.
Kept the country going through the pandemic.
I think they have. They are the real heroes here.
Pizza's real.
One vote this week goes to Harry's Clothing.
Harry. Oh, I saw Harry.
We know Harry Hutchison, who runs a clothing retail shop in Berwick, decided enough is enough, Howard. He's opening up. He's been copying the 10 grand fines per day. He's been selling a few clothes, but he's doing it. And to be honest, Judd Corp may need to take a similar approach.
Really?
Because the longer this pandemic goes on, and people talk about are going to be the lingering effects from this pandemic, Duke.
Very much so.
And to be honest, for me, it's becoming apparent to everyone in my house that I don't do very much work when I go to the office. And the main lingering effect from this virus is going to be a becoming a full-time errand boy for my wife, Duke. And that's not good for business. I'm giving the premier till Sunday, and then I may have to go down the same path as Harry Hutchison because...
Open the doors of Judcorp.
Well, it's just going to be some lingering pain. And I know you can't run out of lockdown, Duke. Don't worry about that, but enough is enough.
Before you go on, I was aware of this before your family was. I went to an early incarnation of Judcorp when it was over in Chapel Street, just off Chapel Street, and Chris said, yep, come round, we'll have a coffee, we'll have a chat. So I did that, and as I arrived, Chris is getting out of the back of the Jag a chair. And I thought, what's the chair for? He only had one chair in the early incarnation of Judcorp, and he had brought me a chair from home that I could sit on behind the desk.
We broadcast from Judcorp, and there were no lights, there was no telephone line.
It's a Ponzi scheme. Yes.
So why did it take Beck so long to figure it out?
Well, she's very busy, Howard. Right. She's very busy, and it's taken her for a while to realise how unbusy I am. But the truth is slowly being unearthed, and it's uncomfortable for all of us. Yeah.
Go on.
Two votes yes. goes to Joe Biden. We spoke a lot about Donald Trump last week, but I thought this was a bit of a highlight from Joe Biden during the week.
We can do this. You can ban chokeholds. You can, but beyond that, you have to teach people how to de-escalate circumstances. De-escalate. So instead of anybody coming at you and the first thing you do is shoot to kill, you shoot them in the leg.
Oh, I think that's powerful. And, you know, to anyone, you know, just de-escalate things. You don't need to shoot to kill. Howard, just pop them in the leg. Pop them in both legs if you have to. It got me to thinking about our group.
Oh, and, I did it. Did it.
And there are some in our group where we do need a de-escalation
yes.
strategy. I mean, Duke,
yeah. yes.
he's angry. We know he's a closet angry man. He expects to be congratulated or constantly about his anchoring on the breath. The fact he sits there with his eyes shut and breathes. This is an act that needs constant congratulations for Duke. But he needs a de-escalation strategy because he's right on the edge, our man.
Yep.
He's running this.
Having to take one of the legs.
But when you hear about others in our group being swooped by plover birds, being ridiculed by COVID-safe officers at the AFL, we need an escalation strategy for them. And we don't need the Biden strategy. I don't know what we do, but we need to crank him up because enough is enough.
We need a micro-dose, don't we?
Macro-dose. I think it's micro-dose.
Macro.
Three votes. Three votes this week go to not understanding Stockturn. Howard?
Oh, okay.
You know what stock turn is, Noodle? Stock turn is how many times you turn over your inventory yep. as a retailer. So if you've got all your inventory, you sell it out in 1 month. You continue to do that each month for the year. Your stock turn is 12. How? This is the most important.
I got you.
Most important ratio in retail. Now, on a seemingly unrelated story, there was outrage during the week when the Wiggles released a new range.
Seemingly unrelated.
Sold at Big W. And the stock that the Wiggles came up with in their outfits for kids, they didn't have any tutus for the young boys. And there was outrage at this.
Right.
Howard.
Right.
Now, I put it that maybe this is not an ideological war against little boys wearing tutus. Maybe it does come back to Stockturn. And when your mortgage is relying on the Stockturn being high or your job is relying on that Stockturn occurring in an efficacious manner, maybe it's not an ideological war. Maybe you're just trying to get the stock to turn over. And the good thing about being in a free society, Duke.
Yes, Judge.
Is if you do think there's a gap in the market, you can mortgage your house on the line and you can try and fulfil it. There's no problems with that, Howard.
That's not.
So to not understanding Stockturn, that gets the three votes this week.
Quick break.
Very personal three votes that was. I think that struck a chord with the judge. What a night it is. Let's get straight over to the Adelaide Oval and the coach of the Port Adelaide Power, who have been on top of the ladder since round one, right through, straight into the Prelim Final. Ken Hinckley's good enough to join us on the Friday Huddle. Welcome, Kenny.
Evening, boys.
Hey, thanks for joining us. And I'd love to start with playing a bit of a grab, Ken. And I'm not sure if you've heard this, but Darren Kale was on radio with us this morning here in Melbourne, and he was having a chat with Eddie Maguire. For those who don't know the history of the Port Adelaide Football Club, it's the 150th year, has well been publicised, but the Kale family's history. John Kale, how about these numbers? Four-time premiership player, 10-time premiership coach of the Port Adelaide Football Club. This is his son, Darren, who we know is an outstanding tennis player, semi-finalist in the US Open as a singles player, went on to become a superstar player before a knee injury. But, Kenny, this is what Darren Kale had to say, just how much this means at the moment to him, his family, and what Port Adelaide means. Let's have a listen to this.
We had our 150th celebration dinner earlier in the year. I think it was in February. So it was like 1,000 people packed into a huge room. And so every former Port Adelaide player through the SANFL and also those players in the AFL that represented Port Adelaide came to that dinner. So the current players had a chance to mix with everyone from Port Adelaide, everyone that's living. And at the end of the night, everybody that played a single game with Port Adelaide got onto the stage and had a huge photo. And I've never played a game with Port Adelaide, and I've had some success in my field of tennis, but I had the hairs on my arms standing up, watching all these players stand up there and be proud to have represented Port Adelaide and to wear the prison bar jumper and to wear the black, white and teal jumper. And that moment to me captured what Port Adelaide was all about. And so for the current players to actually feel that and sense the history of the club, I think it made a big difference to them. And they've gone on to the park this year or the ground this year, and they've played with a sense of pride that maybe they haven't had before because they understand who that representing and the players of the past. So it was a magical experience. You know, I wish we could do it every year, but unfortunately we don't have 150th every year. But I promise you that night, if I could have swapped everything that I've done in tennis and stood on that stage, having said that I played one game for the Port Adelaide Football Club, I would have done it.
Yeah,
that's how special that moment meant to me.
Powerful words. It's a very proud football club you're the coach of, Kenny, and tonight is just a huge occasion in your 150th year, isn't it?
Yeah, it is to us. Look, when you listen to Darren talk like that, you know, particularly with his family. But with this footy club, you know, I've been lucky to be here 8 years now, and it is. I got to say this, and it is a bit of a different feel at this footy club, and you know, the passion in the people who have played, and the passion in the members of this footy club. You know, there's some pride in where they've come from, I think, and to where they've got to. And you know, I think what he did say too is that our players had a real feel on that night, that particular night, about what Port Adelaide has been over a long period of time. And you know, they did take something away from it, I'm sure.
Ken, you've been known as a fairly attacking side over the last few years, but it's been your defensive aspects this year. When you lose a player like Dougal Howden, there was a lot of negativity around that. And then the back six you've had for most of the part this year has done a wonderful job. There's only been one time, I think, where Tom Hawkins kicked six that they've probably been beaten or somebody's got out of the loop and kicked the bag. Your back six have been your rock this year.
Yeah, they have, Brandy. I mean, they've been really good. I mean, there is a bit made of their size, you know, and they're not the tallest back six, but they're a very competitive back six or back seven, we think, and they all like to go pretty hard at the ball, and they're all capable of, you know, obviously jumping and that and going in the air. And we understood that, you know, when Dougal made his move, that was you know, going to be hard for us to replace. We didn't have the identical replacement, but we brought Trent in, and he's been fantastic down there. But that six or seven boys down there, they just know each other pretty well. And to be fair, they're quite young in that area of the ground, even though we've got Hamish and Tom there. But, you know, for games played, they're not an experienced group.
Ken, so much intrigue about what Tom Lynch brings to not just this season, but this particular game. Hamish Hartlett, your player, I think cleverly brought into that situation in a media interview yesterday. Do you expect that there'd be fireworks around whatever Lynch is doing?
Damn, it's a prelim final. I reckon she'll be on. There'll be a bit going on out there, regardless of Tom. I mean, I know Tom well, too. I was lucky enough to be on the Gold Coast when Tom come up there. Tom's a fiercely competitive. He's the most gentlest person in the world when it's off the field. But when you put him out there to compete, he's pretty aggressive. But as I said yesterday, I've got one at the other end who, I think, if Tom's aggressive, mine's probably crazy aggressive, and that's Charlie. You know, those two boys were together at a very young age, and I worked with them both when they're 18 and 19 year olds, and they're incredible to see the development and to see them both playing against each other tonight is quite remarkable. But yeah, no, I think Richmond don't know how to play any other way, and I'd like to think we don't know how to play any other way.
Kenny, any time you hear a player speak at this time of year, there's congratulations from the media because it is such a huge effort to finish top four. How do you balance that up? Are you reminding them that there's nothing achieved yet? Do you feel you need to make a conscious effort that they're not reminiscing on the season so far, or do you just let them enjoy what's been a successful season to date?
Yeah, I think it's been really important that we've enjoyed each milestone and or monument, as we've called it this year, is that, you know, we've been able to do some remarkable things as a group, and you have to enjoy them along the way, and you have to run the risk that people will want to say, did you enjoy it too much? But we think our connection and our emotion towards each other is really visible to everyone to see, and we don't want to hide away from that. That's who we are, and that's what we want to be. We get, you know, there's big stakes tonight, and we want to play another week after tonight, and we think we're more than capable of doing that.
We're speaking to Port Adelaide senior coach Ken Hinckley on the Friday Huddle. Ken, in my Twitter feed today, your famous 2003 speech in the GFL final popped up and it got me pumped up and ready to go. Is there still room and time and a place for that in modern AFL football in a preliminary final, or is it all now non-emotion, structure and process? Or do you still go for the heartstrings and the guts and the blood required and the effort and the teammate and all those things that we love about footy?
No. I'm the complete opposite of people who think there's no emotion in the game. I think there's more emotion in the game than there's ever been. I think that there's a moment and there's a time that the old rev does work a little bit, doesn't it? It's not an everyday thing, but it certainly works. These blokes are really passionate about what they do, and emotionally they're fully invested. And if you don't call on that at some point, or you don't use that yourself at some point, I don't think you're in the game for the right reasons. And I think there's definitely a place for that. And our boys, I know that they look for a lift at times, and they look to each other to give that lift, or they look to the coaches to help them with that.
Hey, Kenny, I understand there's been a fair bit of rain around Adelaide and potentially more coming as this first bounce arrives. How much do you change your style in that? Is that going to be a big factor for you?
No, not really, Dust. Look, we picked the same side regardless whether it was bucketing down or it was dry. You know, we back the people we've got. You know, our taller players, we think are really mobile on the ground and in the air. So I think that really helps us. And, we certainly got some big bulls around the footy, as Richmond have, that, you know, don't mind the ball in a contest. So I don't think for us it changes too much. We play a similar style, whether it's wet or dry. We won't be frightened to take the game on. We won't be frightened to go aggressively at the ball. So that's just the way we play.
Ken, you get a lot of stats handed you throughout quarters, every 5-10 minutes. What is the one stat 15 minutes into this game you want to be handed to know that Port Adelaide are on tonight?
Contested possession, thank you, and we'll be okay if we're in the battle. I think any team would say that. I think Damien said the same. We'd both acknowledge that if you're somewhere near even or breaking even or at least or ideally you're in front, you know you're in the fight, and that's where you want to be. You want to be in the fight. It's a prelim final. You know, it's probably going to go all the way to the wire, and I'd like it to be over quickly for us and we get them done, but that's not going to be the case. But contested possession is where you'd look, and clearly off that for us, time in half is really important.
Ken, best of luck tonight. As always, we appreciate you spending time with us, especially before such a big game. Good luck to you and the Port Adelaide Footy Club tonight in the big prelim.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for your time.
Nice to speak to Ken Hinckley. We'll play some of that later in the show, that GFL sort
it's
of quarter-time
fantastic,
address.
Isn't it, Howie? I love it. Makes me smile every time I hear it. What a ripper, Ken Hinckley.
Yeah, one of the greats.
About 12 months ago, there was talk about maybe exiting Ken Hinckley out of Port Adelaide. It's a good lesson, isn't it, when you get good people in footy clubs?
Hold on to him, Duke.
As long as you possibly can, Brownie.
I'm going off script, though, for a quick moment.
I like it.
Because the thing I love about coming in here on Friday night is we're all part of a team.
We are indeed.
And we're a tight team, and we do the same things. We stick together. We roll together.
Yeah. We do.
Now, often in the ad breaks, promos are handed out to say, you know, keep an eye on Triple M football tonight. It's the preliminary final, Port Adelaide versus Richmond. We all do it,
yep.
And it gets played next week. Now, a promo line's just been handed around. And it starts with, "G'day, it's Luke Darcy. Join us tonight from 7 as Triple M rocks the 2020 AFL Grand Final." And Darcy did it.
Yep.
"Join us tonight," it said.
All the eight.
And then yeah. Juddy said, "Join us tonight."
Yeah.
And then Brownie voiced, "Join us tonight."
Yeah.
And I was just waiting for it to get handed my way. And the producer took it away from me and said, "You don't need to voice that." And
so, yeah,
it was a bit awkward.
What's been a challenge is a performance-based industry, this one, Al.
Right. So tell me what's happened.
Yeah. So the amazing hasn't told you?
Well, basically, from what I can read here, you three blokes doing the grand final, I ain't.
I heard it was team balance. There was nothing wrong with what you've done per se.
Right, is that it?
We were a bit, we needed some physical bulk in the commentary box.
Could have been the voice deepening thing.
What's happened, Darcy? You're the captain.
I think the niche of a sort of an outside back flanker, you know, doesn't win a contested ball is not probably what we want to go with grand final day. And I think you've had the sort of what's called the red tab in the locker.
I had a great year.
We'll call you, don't call us. It's how. But that's fine. That's part of the feedback cycle.
Well, I thought I had a great year, Nate. And I thought we're all in doing the grand final. And I'm not reading the promo lines, which leads me to believe I'm not calling the grand final.
Yeah, that's
we
right,
all thought it'd been a great. You'd had a great year for you.
Right.
That's what we thought too.
I think you'd been the best version of you. And that's all we can hope.
So who's calling it? It's the Friday night team and who?
I mean, just assuming me. I don't know, I don't know if I need anyone else here.
All right, it's time for...
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
"Hey, what if we do a countdown?"
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5. For Spirit Internet and IT, all of your business IT and telco needs under one roof.
Well, after yourself indulge and talk about yourself over there, Howard, I've only got 4 minutes 23. We've got a hard time out here. So let's get straight into it because the huddle has been amazing with or without Howard since we started. But there was that great moment where Darce went to Luke Tunnicliffe after Lee Simon said our first segment was absolutely no good. You're lucky to be on air this week. So I wanted to go back, and here's a precursor to the top five, but I went back to listen to our very first intro.
This is the Friday Huddle coming your way from the MCG. Huge game coming. It is the Collingwood Football Club up against the Western Bulldogs, and we have got guest galore Dane Swan straight out of the jungle will be joining us here on the Friday Huddle. Jeff Walsh from the Collingwood Football Club.
Listen, exciting, Howard, I would have thought. So it was a long time ago, but it was...
I actually look back and think Lee Simon was right.
But then...
Take it back.
You introed him, and I think he was still in player mode.
We'll start off with a two-time Brownlow medalist who has got his own segment, it must be said, later on this evening. Chris Judd. Hello, Juddy.
Howie, good to be here. Looking forward to it.
Oh, jeez.
Well, there wasn't much time left after Howard spoke for 20 minutes.
That's where Lee was coming from. Now I've got 3 minutes 20. I thought, let's get into the huddle. Friday 2020, the best of this year.
Oh, yes. Oh,
coming in at number 5 is the big fella calling the replay.
Mitch Duncan has won this one out of the centre. The Irishman, Tui. Penetrating long kick inside forward 50. And McAvoy back there.
I think you're fine. You might be calling the replay, Jake.
I think...
You did a bloody good job of it. I like...
I think you're right, too.
He's done a Sandy Roberts on us.
Oh, that was brilliant, Duke. We love that. We haven't got a lot of time. So, look, I could have been 5-4-3-2-1 with how good I've been this year. But I slotted myself in here. Friday night is always a bit of a worry, led by a man who has trouble saying sorry. From fat shaming to drop naming, he yearns for his voice to be deeper. Somehow, Erica thought he'd be a keeper. Out for all that he can get, from the 6x6 to Red Rooster and Blue Bet, working for a bookie, how desperate can you get? That was number 4, Howard. That was all about you.
I can't believe you've thrown your own stuff.
That was all about you.
Too good not to use.
I tell you what, we do a lot of research. As you know, I came handed with a lot of stats last week. I just stat after stat. It was unbelievable stuff. So here is number 3.
Capable goal kicker, big sexy for a big man. Had a 6-goal haul versus Port Adelaide in round 10.
Must have been a big game for Segler. It must have been personal best, those 6 goals back in round 10.
Yep.
Our man hasn't got something. He hasn't misspoke, has he?
I think it was Gunston.
Righto.
He sort of this didn't seem right that Segy kicked 6, actually, as I said.
Can't remember that happening.
I was thinking it must have been a big game if Gunston kicked 6 and Segler as well.
Got to do your own research, Duke.
That was a warning for Swamp.
Coming in quickly at number 2 was Danger and Juddy trading resumes.
Oh, yes.
You know, if you do want to sort of compare myself and Chris. I know I've gotten pretty hard at Chris tonight, but no doubt an incredible career, but it really only took one contest with me for it to end all of it. So, you know, the ACL went and that was the end of it. We didn't see him again.
Paddy, once you captain a flag and win a couple of Brownlows, you're ready to go. And, a lot of people say you haven't won a Brownlow, so you won two. I think that's unfair. I think that's unfair. It is an achievement to win one. But still a bit of work for you to do, Paddy, but keep chipping away. You'll get
there. So that was Juddy and Danger, two of the best going at it. We've got 20 seconds to go. What else could be number one than this?
You've given me reason, though, to ask subsequent questions about Eddie Betts right now, though.
I've given you reasons?
Yeah.
Well, whoop-dee-doop.
He's finished with whoop-dee-doop. That's Danny, Nate. Give us a whoop-dee-doop to the break, Judge.
Whoop-dee-doop.
Well done, Nate. Our next guest, if you don't mind, currently the Tigers midfield coach and also a Port Adelaide Premiership player, Adam Kingsley, joins us on the line. Adam, you've heard that full build-up. We're excited. What a wonderful opportunity for your football club tonight in enemy territory.
Yeah, it certainly is. It's going to be pretty hostile out there, but we can't wait.
Hey, Adam, long history you've got as a Premiership player with the Port Adelaide Football Club in 2010, and you want to back into an environment you know really well in their 150th year, such a special time for the club that you made your name at. Must be a strange feeling going back with the Richmond colours on such a big occasion.
Yeah, it's a little strange. Such a big game. You know, obviously, Port Adelaide has had a terrific season in what is a pretty important season for them. And, you know, certainly hoping to knock them off. But the Port supporters, they won't hold back on me. Don't worry about that. They'll be right into all of us. It doesn't matter what we used to do. It's what's happening right now, and they're pretty parochial. So we're bracing ourselves for that, but we're looking forward to it at the same time.
And it looks like it might be wet and slippery. When I watch you guys play, it looks like you play your best when you play a messy sort of a brand of football. Do you think the rain suits you if it ends up coming?
Yeah, I think it does. It's been raining, drizzling here all day, and it's pretty slippery out there. So that suits us. We like to keep the ball moving, keep it surging forward and run onto it, use our speed, use our endurance. So I think the rain suits us. It just depends, you know, obviously big bodies around Port Adelaide, so they're midfield, so their contest stuff. We just need to manage that. Their stoppage stuff, we need to make sure we manage that too. But yeah, we're pretty happy it's drizzly.
Last week after the game, Dimmer in the press conference said that he learnt from round 11 playing against Port Adelaide, which had served you well this week. What was it that you guys learnt from round 11?
Oh, look, it was really the contest and the pressure. You know, the level we were at that point in time, wasn't it? At their same level. They embarrassed us, really. Centre bounce clearance, minus 15. The contested ball across the day was minus 40-odd. You know, we didn't cope with their pressure anywhere near well enough. So really, that was almost the spark that got our season back on track for mine. You know, from that moment on, we kind of, you know, got our game back up and going. We certainly lifted our pressure and intensity around the ball, and it served us well. But again, another great challenge tonight, and, you know, hopefully things are different than what they were last time.
Adam, a lot of us on the outside are intrigued by the goings-on of Tom Lynch, particularly in this season and particularly within the confines of a match itself. Hamish Hartlett made some comments about that yesterday. How have you and how has your club approached that aspect of this game going into it?
Oh, I don't think we focus too much on what other people are saying about Tom or our footy club. You know, we just go about our business. I think Tom, if anyone has met him off the field, you know, you wouldn't meet a nicer guy, but on the field, he's a competitor, and he wants to do what it takes to compete and win the ball and win the game. And at times, he's stepped over the line this year, you know, as a few have. But you know, we want him competing. We want him playing like a big man, and that's what big men do.
Adam, we know you got a lot on your plate in the lead up to the game, so we'll let you go. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle. Good luck to you and the Tigers tonight.
No worries, guys. Good luck.
Thanks, Adam Kingsley, Premiership player with Port Adelaide and now on the other side with the Tigers tonight. Now, speaking of a lot on your plate, Howie, you've got a lot on your plate as well, and something I felt we needed to have a chat about as a team because it's a collective brand that we work on a Friday Huddle.
There you go. I like this. I like where it's heading
like
already.
To make sure that we're... the words have been agile and flexible. Yeah. Howie, we know you've been prepared to put your name to almost anything for cash.
loves his cash.
A long period of time. And there's almost a stage there where almost immediately after and a Howard endorsement, companies were going to receivership almost.
Strong correlation.
Blue bet.
Well, I've got an idea where this might be going now. You've gone down this path. I was hoping this might slide through.
Tell you what, he's back in the game. And I tell you what, I'm very keen to hear more about how his passion for this space. Have a listen to an ad that was sent to me this week.
Good news. Manscaped has just launched in Australia. There's been too many stories in the past about fellas doing themselves damage in the below the belt region simply because they didn't have the right grooming gear. This is a third generation trimmer featuring a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce any nasty grooming accidents. The waterproof technology allows you to groom in the shower, and there's even an LED light to illuminate the whole process so you make sure you get it nice and precise. Manscaped, precision engineering tools for your family jewels.
That's it. Precision engineered for your family jewels, Dars.
It's in your all-time low.
It's a bit low, bro. You're working blue.
Hey, they felt they wanted to align themselves with the Howie Games podcast, which is the biggest podcast brand in the country. And so we gave them a chop out, and they are a magnificent piece of equipment. You've got to be careful, and that's what you need, Judge.
We've got big question marks if you've actually got pubic hair. Now, I don't know if this is an on-air conversation or an off-air, but surely if the trimming company was going to attach themselves to anyone, surely someone...
When they brand themselves Manscaped, are they worried about you being a man?
Well, I can't believe you've actually gone with that. We are on air.
We just had question marks, Howard.
No, I think it's been a fantastic combination.
Were they aware of the fact that you have someone purposefully lower your voice on Foxwood to try and make you more manly before they chose you as their ambassador, Howie?
Hey, they just wanted to jump on board the Howie Games, which is a flying as a podcast brand.
Have you got one in the shower?
I got a couple of the tools down there, and they do a very nice job.
Really? Are they concerned, Howard, that when you go shop at Target, you're still in a youth 16?
Nate's didn't seem like a natural fit. There's a lot of other people I would have thought, maybe.
You don't say.
Just didn't seem like you, Howie.
They are your precision tools for your family jewels. That's what they go with. And if you need a help, Nate, I can send you something your way if you like.
What a match.
Like me getting a deal with hairbrushes.
You don't even...
you know, when it came through, I said to them, I'm more than happy to represent the brand. That's fantastic. Come on the podcast. The Howie Games will be brilliant. And I thought to myself, has they been on for 2 weeks now? And they're very nice operation, and we love them all down there.
Is Erica happy?
Geez, I was surprised he didn't get a run last week. I don't know how it quite slipped through the keeper last week. So anyway, anything else to add for that or not?
No, I just wanted to bring that to the table, and I think it needed some assessment.
Okay, well, if you need some work there, manscaping, I can help you out, Nate.
Thanks, Al. That'd be great.
Damo, straighten us up, give us some news, please.
You mentioned a few moments ago, Howie, that Brisbane Lions have made the one change to their winning qualifying final team, that being Cam Ellis-Yolman coming in at the expense of Kyden Coleman. He debuted back in round 15 and played every game since, but Cam Ellis-Yolman being the bigger body there, Judge, is the reason that they've brought him back in for this game against the bigger-bodied midfield group of the Cats.
Yeah, and I think that no doubt Cats have a very mature group and quite physical. I thought they really smacked them around this year, around the middle of the year, didn't they, up there? So no doubt that'd be ringing in Chris Fagan's mind, and they want to avoid that occurring again.
A couple of Collingwood players, Howie, who are yet to get resolution on what they're going to be doing next year. One of them's contracted in Adam Treloar's case. One of them isn't in Jordan De Goey's case. There's genuine interest in both now. And it's a scenario that's played out publicly during the week, Darce, where Adam Treloar spoke publicly about his situation. But I take with a grain of salt anything Adam Treloar says about where he's going to be, given he made very, very, very strong statements in 2015 as a giant that he'd be staying there. And 3 months later was signing a document in a Collingwood polo shirt to become a Magpie. And what I also can tell you, the question certainly has been asked of the Treloar management by the Gold Coast Suns. I expect that question to come again, and once it's flushed out as it has been, it may well be a situation where other clubs get involved too, because Collingwood actually had a conversation last year about those 1 and 2 picks that the Gold Coast Suns had about Treloar.
Damo, who's pushing the initiative? I've got a bit confused on this one. Is it coming from a Collingwood situation or a player situation as far as potentially moving on?
I feel it goes back to a year ago, Howie, when... Now, I don't claim to know how serious the conversations got between Collingwood and the Gold Coast Suns over potentially using one of those first two picks in the draft. We know they used them for Rowell and Anderson, but Collingwood asked the question, could we get one of these two picks ourselves? It went away reasonably quickly. Obviously, Treloar was aware of it, not all that happy with it. He does have a personal situation now with his partner, Howie, being a famous netballer who will be playing in the Southeast Queensland area. That's the reason for the talk this week, but there is more to it than what's being said publicly by the people involved.
Damo, if Collingwood could keep one of them, who do you think they'd keep?
That's a really good question. The one that they've got contracted is the easy one, that being Adam Treloar. And on the other one, Brownie, the Jordan De Goey situation, he, you'll find, is noticing the market's cooled on him a little bit. He got the offer from North Melbourne 3 years ago at $1 million a season times five. The numbers that are being put to Jordan De Goey now are nowhere near that amount for a number of reasons. That the most money that
we're talking 700 at the moment, yeah?
Yeah, we're talking about that, yeah. And look, once it's official you can get someone of that nature, it might go up a little bit more, but the Collingwood's pretty keen to keep him. They met with his management today, and I'm assuming, without knowing for sure, but I'm assuming they put an offer to him, which we'll have some time to consider. So I expect we'll get some clarity on his situation inside a week.
Juddy, there was some discussion about De Goey and Carlton, and then I think there was word from Carlton that wasn't something they were going to pursue? Is this something you want to answer or just give us an elongated pause, or how do you want to play that?
I think I'll tackle the pause with that one, Howard. But look, to be honest, the list manager at Carlton is speaking to all sorts of players, so that's his job, and I'm sure there's a whole host of players who've been spoken to. But fortunately, a couple who've agreed to try and make their way over that we'll be focusing on.
Okay.
So this is very
official.
No eye contact.
I think he was pulled aside last time after the Eddie Betts debacle and was given a bit of media training.
Wasn't my story to tell, the Eddie Betts one. I know Damo was intrigued by it and gave him reason to ask a follow-up question, but I thought they were all pretty straightforward answers out.
The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week is a man with a standout mustache that rivals Merv Hughes. He's saddled up in 333 games for the Tigers and Pies, ending as a dual premiership player, a Brownlow medal runner-up, and Tigers Hall of Famer. You'll also know him as the father of Jason, Cameron and Travis. Please welcome David Cloak.
Or tackle the heat of the new McSpicy burger for Mac as you're listening to the Friday Huddle. Now this segment, cult hero of the week, Juddy, has been big all year, but I think we're going out with a bang with this man.
Definitely.
A true legend of the VFL world. He joins us on the line, David Cloak. David, good evening to you. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle.
No worries, fellas. How's it all going?
We're going well. The boys will have so many historical footy questions for you. Nate is very good in that area. But firstly, from my perspective, how are you dealing with the last strained 6 months and what are you up to in life at the moment, David?
Oh, look, I take it pretty easy these days in life. Basically retired as such. I got a 20-acre property out the back of Warrandyte, so I got plenty to do and keeps me occupied, so I don't get stuck, in the house too much. I can get out and do plenty of stuff. I got stuff to do, so that's pretty good with me.
Cloaky, I spent a lot of time in my early AFL years at Robbie Wiley's house and used to watch quite a lot of replays of the Richmond era that you were a part of with so many great players. Who was the best out of all those guys you played with?
I go back to start off with Royce Hart, Ian Stewart, Kevin Bartlett, Dick Clay, Francis Burke. Then you go on to around 1980, you got Robert Wiley, Maurice Rioli, Jeff Raines, Dale Waitman, and those type of players in two different eras sort of thing. Then when I went across to Collingwood, played with Darren Mullane, Peter Dacos, who were, really good players as well.
Cloaky, 333 games, but I want to ask you about your last game, because most players in their last game, they're just about done. They're over the hill. They can't get out of their own way, but you've bagged 8 goals against the Blues in your last game. Unbelievable. Did you ever think halfway through that game, well, actually, I might actually like to play on next year?
No. I knew it was up halfway through the first quarter. I was in the ruck and I was against Justin Madden at the time, and I weren't getting anywhere near it. And we had a young bloke on the bench, Ty Esler. And I know, talking to Kevin afterwards, it was Coach Kevin Bartlett, who was coach, the rest of the match committee wanted me off the ground. They wanted me off the ground halfway through the first quarter. And Kevin said, under no circumstances will he come off the ground today. We'll put him in the forward pocket and put Ty Esler in the ruck. And that's where it sort of went from there. I went down forward, kicked a goal early, and then got a couple more. And everything seemed to go my way. And even during the last quarter, I was even nominating what type of kick, because I don't think one of them went straight to the day. The last one, Craig Lambert came up to him and said to me, "What are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going to kick a reverse torp." Peter Dean was standing on the mark, and he heard me say it, and I held it away and kicked it, and I must have got it flush. I went straight through the middle, and he just broke down. He couldn't believe it, and finished up with 8. That was a good way to go out.
And David, the last of those 333 was in 1991. The second of the 2 years you had back at the Tigers, started there in 72, left in 74, left in 82. When you went back to Richmond after the 7 seasons at Collingwood, the Pies won that year's very next flag. Do you ever look back on that and wonder if you could have been part of that famous Collingwood victory?
No, not really. I got a phone call in November 89 from the Collingwood Footy Club to come down and have a meeting with Lee Matthews as coach and Alan McAllister as president. And as all you boys in there would know, if you get a phone call in November to come down and talk to those people, you're not going to be around for too much longer. And I went down there and we went in the boardroom and there's three chairs in the boardroom. Two down that one far end of the table and one up the other end. And Lee and Alan are sitting in the nose, so I knew that one mine down here. And look, they tried to convince me into retiring then. And I was still enjoying my footy and I thought, oh, I was 10 away from 300, which had been a goal I'd set myself to want to do. And I thought, well, and I got a phone call from Sam Newman. Sam Newman rang me up and said, look, if you want to have a go of it now, because you'll never get a chance in, you know, 12 months' time or 2 years' time to do it again. So see what happens. And I did, and then I got a phone call from KB asking me if I'd like to come back and finish my time at Richmond. I was only going to play one more year, and I played that one, and then he ended up talking me into another one.
Our cult hero of the week is the legend that is David Cloke. Great to chat to Clokey. Now I'm going to go slightly off script here, Clokey. I'm not sure if you remember this night, but it was at a nondescript bar in Moonee Ponds, and I was there alongside Nathan Brown and a few others. Very reasonably behaved. Turnover, and Nate was being attacked by about six of the largest bouncers that I've seen in my life and was taken down a side door. As I tried to intervene, I got ragdolled very, very quickly. And you wouldn't believe it, behind the bar was none other than one David Cloke, who I think had his you know, Mike's Lemonade T-shirt on. But Clokey, you very quickly came and saved the life of a young Nate Brown. Do you remember that happening?
Oh, let's go back a few years now. I can vaguely remember. Yeah. So, because I got to know the people who were running the pub and that sort of stuff, and through doing promotions with them, and I sort of had a quick word to someone say, hey, hang on a second, you know, look, and we were able to quieten it down sort of reasonably quickly.
I suspect Nathan wasn't entirely faultless in the whole event, Nate. What was the...
Well, the bouncer was lucky to get away, I thought, Duke, on that occasion. I just wanted him to take a beanie off.
I didn't see much of the lead up to it. I just saw some of the consequences and thought, oh, well, you know, see if we could do something about this here.
Very handy having a very large David Cloke, Howie.
Clokey,
attendance.
It was a famous Mike's Hard Lemonade T-shirt you wore. I think most people go back and they think of that vision and that great T-shirt. I mean, did you get a lick out of that or anything?
I was in partnership with a bloke in Sydney. We were importing the product from Canada. And so my job was involved in Victoria, promoting it and getting it out and all that sort of stuff. And so then all of a sudden we had CUB come to us later on and made us an offer.
Not only did you wear it on the grand final footy show, we're just having a look at some pictures. Your son was suspended leading into the grand final and you're walking out of the tribunal with a Mike's Hard Lemonade T-shirt on.
And we all still remember Mike's Lemonade, don't we?
Yeah, so you all remember it. That's right. But where it happened is I got a phone call from Collingwood saying, look, it'd be good for you to come down and just show yourself around. And I was working at the time. I was at a job doing some work, and I didn't have another shirt or anything else in the car. And I turned up, and that's how it came about. And look, everyone reckons it was good publicity for him at the time, but that's the way life goes.
David, obviously the boys played a lot of AFL football between them all. What was it like going to the famous venues that you'd played at and watched them play? And when they were getting stick in the media, what's that like as a parent when your young blokes are out there doing their best and they might have had a poor game and it gets written up and you have to read the headlines?
Yeah, look, that's the hard part, I think. And it's more, you know, people make comments and not knowing, you know, the job they're doing, or they're, you know, sort of, you know, carrying a little bit or whatever. So there was always, you know, you know from being in the inside, you know a bit more than what people do on the outside, and people make comments about things like that. And but you know, the hardest one, and look, it happened one day at what they call it these days, Marvel Stadium.
Yep.
Marvel Stadium, that's right. I haven't heard much of that this year. we're at a game and I was sitting there and Cameron was with me and we're sitting in the stand and in the players' enclosure where all the parents and all that sit, and about six or seven rows in front, Travis was playing and what probably getting a lot of kicks this day, and some bloke about six or seven rows down in front stood up and pointed his finger directly at me and started abusing the shit out of me, saying that, sorry about that, abusing me and saying that this is all my fault. And, I sort of had a couple of words to him, and Cameron said to me to quiet down, and the bloke kept going. The next minute I couldn't find Cameron, and he was just down and tapping me on the shoulder and said, oh, look, I think you better be quiet for a while. The consequences might be too good. So, look, it does get to your times, and look, some of the comments that are made, you know, they talk about the players getting abused and that over the fence, but well, the parents cop a lot at the same time.
David, we appreciate your time. You're the head of a fine footballing family. Thanks for joining us on the Friday Huddle. Enjoy the footy tonight. Stay safe. And it's been an absolute treat to chat with you.
Yeah, I'll be staying safe. I'll be sitting at home watching on the TV, and I'm going to have a cold drink when I want one. And if it's no good, I can turn it over and watch something else. That's the good part about it. But no, look, I think it's going to be a great game tonight. And hopefully, in one way, Richmond win.
Good on you. I hope that cold drink's a Mike's cold lemonade. That'd be fantastic. Good on you, Clokey. Thank you very much.
Shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.